remember to always edit what you've written and then think, okay, what are the two lines in what I've just written that will really resonate with people? Then move that up. And then you describe the situation and you ask for engagement. You know, write in the comments below if you have any further ideas about this topic or if you have any questions for me, and then respond to comments. If people comment on your post, it's really important for you to go to each one of those comments and write back to them. Hi, I'm Renata Bernardi, and this is the Job Hunting Podcast, where I interview experts and professionals and discuss issues that are important for job hunters and those who are working to advance their careers. So make sure that you subscribe and follow, and let's dive right in. Hello, everybody. I wasn't planning on recording this specific episode today, but I'm glad I'm doing it. I had a guest today, and the guest didn't show up. But then I don't want to use a perfectly good time to record an episode. So this is going to be one of those chit-chatty ones where I have a lot on my mind about LinkedIn that I want to share with you. I put together some very easy notes for me to follow, and I never get tired of talking about LinkedIn. I hope you never get tired of listening to me talk about LinkedIn. But some things are changing on LinkedIn, and I wrote about it on LinkedIn, so I'll put a link to that article below. I'm not going to focus on that specific change today because it hasn't really happened yet. So it has been announced, but it hasn't happened yet. So that's the people also viewed box that's going to disappear, and a new box called similar profiles will show up instead. That new box you cannot disable, you cannot turn it off. And I'm not happy with that. The LinkedIn people that I know that work here in Australia know that. I've sent them my article and I let them know that I'm not happy. But I love LinkedIn nevertheless. And I think it's really essential for corporate professionals to build a personal brand on LinkedIn. Not everybody needs to have a LinkedIn account. And we're going to talk about this today. Okay. Let's start from the beginning, shall we? What is LinkedIn? LinkedIn was created 20 years ago. I cannot believe it myself. I think it was 2002 or 2003. You can tell that I don't have very good notes today. But it was around that time, and it was around 2007, 2008 that I personally joined. I think in the beginning, it was very small, startup-y kind of platform. But by 2008, it was pretty big. I remember going to the United States to visit universities overseas, specifically business schools, and talk to people that were doing the recruitment of students into those big Ivy League universities. And they were all using LinkedIn. And I came back to Australia and I said, we need to do the same. And that's when I started investing time on LinkedIn and making sure that all of my MBA students, at the time I was an MBA career manager, in a Australian university, and I started making sure that they all had great LinkedIn profiles. If you go through my profile and you go and check out my recommendations, you will see that back then in 2008, I got a lot of lovely recommendations from the MBA students that were working with me at the time. So that's probably why I have so many recommendations. People don't write recommendations anymore. And I wish they did. I think that recruiters and executive search partners still do look at them. So LinkedIn recommendations, I am a fan, especially if they're, of course, authentic, original, real recommendations. So I tend to write them whenever I can, and I love to receive them. I haven't received a recommendation in a while, so there you go. If you feel like writing something about the podcast on my LinkedIn, I'd be very grateful. In fact, to write a recommendation, you have to be connected to the person. So that's an extra step there for you. Okay, back to LinkedIn. 1 billion members as of 2024. I think it was the end of 2023 that milestone was reached, and 200 countries, right? So 24% of those 1 billion members are creative members on LinkedIn. The rest just are very passive. They just stay there and they watch and they see what everybody else is posting, but they don't interact. And LinkedIn's mission is to connect the world's professionals to make them more productive and more successful. So it is a social media platform, but it is geared towards professionals, corporations, business men and women, small businesses. It is about productivity, it is about career success, and it is about business success. So much so that in addition to the LinkedIn platform that you and I have access to, there are two other platforms that are very popular that are LinkedIn's B2B products. And one of them is Sales Navigator that LinkedIn sells for sales teams. And the other one is a recruitment platform that LinkedIn sells to HR departments and functions and recruitment firms. So is being on LinkedIn essential for your career? It depends. It's not essential for everybody in the world. It is necessary to be strategic in it. You do need to be on LinkedIn if you are in specific sectors and industries. So if you need a job in the corporate world, if you work behind the laptop like me, like 100% of my clients, if you work sitting down behind a, you know, a desk, behind a desk and in front of a computer, chances are being on LinkedIn will be good for your career. Those that have a business and are very ambitious, like myself, you know, I have my own small business. I want to expand into different markets. I want to hire people. You know, I have three people working for me at the moment. Then LinkedIn is important for me. There was a time that I was a career coach based in Melbourne. And if it wasn't for LinkedIn and my podcast, I wouldn't have reached clients in the continents that I have clients now. You know, I have clients in the Middle East, I have clients in Europe, I have clients in the United States, all over. And that happened because of this podcast and also because of LinkedIn. Who else? Those with businesses selling to professionals like myself, you know, if you're service business and personal training and technology and so forth, LinkedIn is important to you. Those who have businesses and sell to other businesses like consultants or products that you do B2B, LinkedIn will be important for you. Who doesn't need to be on LinkedIn? I don't think that artists need to be on LinkedIn. I don't think nurses and doctors necessarily need to be on LinkedIn, although some of them are. I don't think that trade workers need to be on LinkedIn, although some of them are. I don't think farmers need to be on LinkedIn unless they're, you know, expanding, raising money or looking for work or collaboration or something like that. It is not essential for every sector and every industry. I believe it is good for white collar workers. If those workers are in the corporate world, or if they are small business owners or solo entrepreneurs, if you're behind a desk, I think LinkedIn is pretty much a requirement these days. So where do you start? What is your strategy on LinkedIn? I believe that the first step on developing a good LinkedIn presence is having your bio. On LinkedIn, we call that an about section, having a banner and having your photo. So that should be your first strategy. The bio, the banner, the headline, the headline and the photo are the things that are sort of showing right at the top. So that top real estate is really important. That's the blue chip real estate on LinkedIn. If people like what they see at the top, they will scroll down. The other thing that people don't understand about the headline and your photo is that if recruiters or anyone, you know, using Sales Navigator or the recruitment platform or the platform that you and I have access to, if they are doing a search, those are the two things that they will see when they're searching. They will see a little photo of you next to your headline, and they will see lots of other people's as well. Let's say if they're looking for myself, as you know, if they're looking for a career coach, they will see my photo and they will see my headline and they will see photos of many other career coaches and the headlines of many other career coaches. And it will be whatever grabs their attention there that will make them click and check me out. And I want that to be something you think about, because LinkedIn is more important in terms of your ability to be found on searches like that if you're looking for a job or if you're a small business than you think. You know, most people focus a lot on embellishing their profiles and not thinking about the fact that LinkedIn is very much Google for corporate professionals, right? So if you're searching for people, you are looking on LinkedIn for professionals. And you're not going to look for professionals on Google. You're going to use LinkedIn to look for professionals if you're trying to fill a role and get somebody interviewed or check people's profiles for specific opportunities. So that's where I think you can start. So when you're developing your headline and you're putting together, you know, your photo and your about section, who are you talking to? You know, who are you trying to reach? Who do you want to be searching for you, right? Be very specific about that individual that you want to connect with through that searching process. And think about what sort of photo and what sort of headline will be most interesting to them. In terms of best practices and the basics of setting up your profile, like I said, the profile photo. The photo adds credibility to your profile. It enhances your personal brand. So having a photo that everyone can see is important. Some people hide the photo from people they're not connected with. Look, if you're not looking for work and you're not interested in career advancement, that's all right. But if you're listening to the Job Hunting podcast, I'm assuming you are interested in career advancement and job opportunities, in which case having a photo of you that denotes trust and likability is really important. So think about what it is in your profession that will be most attractive to the audience you're trying to reach. When I think of banners, I stop and I pause. Again, my audience are corporate professionals in their 40s, 50s, and 60s who are interested in advancing in their careers and looking for work. That, to me, doesn't scream, I need a banner, right? It does not. I need a banner because I am a career coach and I have a small business. So having a banner that shows my podcast or my products or what I do is important. If you are a corporate professional and you have a banner that looks very salesy, it makes you look like a solo entrepreneur like myself, or that you already belong to a company, or that you, I don't know, are doing contract work, consulting work, and that sort of thing. So if what you're looking is to join a corporation or a small business or a medium-sized business to work for them, then the LinkedIn neutral, boring banner is all you need. If you already work for an organization and that organization has a branded banner that employees can use on LinkedIn, use that. I really like that. Even if you're looking for work, it shows that you are a member of the team. It shows that you belong, that you are a colleague of others, and that you play the game of being on LinkedIn. In a way, embracing that organization. If you work in marketing, if you are a senior executive, if you are in government affairs or communications or advertising and you work for an organization, I would expect that you have a branded banner if that banner exists. So do that. You know, even if it's optional, I would adopt it. Then the headline. The headline should be customized to reflect what you want to be known for. It should be descriptive. It should be your job position today, plus a few other keywords about sector experience or geographical experience or anything. You know, like if you're a CPA and you want to have it on your headline, that's fine, or an MBA, that's fine as well. A headline is something that I work with clients over and over and over again because there's up to three lines that you can play with, remembering that the first 50 letters are probably what's going to show up in a search. So how you use that and you maximize that is really important. There's something called features, and I'm about to work with a client adding something to his features that I think will really, really work to his advantage. He wants to go back into a sector that he left just before the pandemic because he wanted to come back to Australia. I mean, the pandemic was crazy. He was working overseas. He wanted to come back. And there is something that belongs to that period of his life that is so current right now that is not easy to find on the web. But if we feature right at the top of his profile, it will really elevate his profile. And if people click on that video, or it could be an article, or it could be a press release, something that gets buried in the interweb. So if you can find those things and bring it forward, and you can have several features at the top of your profile. If you go to my profile again, go to my profile, follow me. You don't need to connect with me if you don't want to, but you at least follow me. You will see that I have only one feature. That's because all I want is for you to sign up for my newsletter. And I think the newsletter is fantastic. Frankly, I've been in marketing all my career, and I have never seen such great open rates. When I go to my CRM system and I look at my open rates and I look at zero unsubscribes week in, week out, you have no idea how proud I get. It's my biggest pride and joy, alongside, of course, this podcast is my weekly newsletter. So that's all I have up at the top of my feature. But then I'm a solo entrepreneur and I'm a business owner. If you're a corporate professional, you should be showcasing things that you've done in whichever way you can. I have clients that have very little in terms of website information, but they participated in a project. So they add maybe a PDF document, or that is publicly available, of course, or an image. You can manipulate that so that there is an image there, and then you can change the heading, you can change the description. You can do quite interesting changes there that really does help you enhance that experience for somebody that lands on your profile. You can have also little featured media links under each of your experiences. So not everything belongs at the top. Some things can belong under each row. Again, if you go to my profile, you will see that I have little links to my podcast under the podcast job row. And even if you scroll down and see my previous corporate roles, when I was a CEO, when I was working at, you know, as director of enterprise, you will see that I have links there that kind of showcase the sort of work that I did in the organizations I worked for in the past. And you can do that as well. Then remember to be anonymous when you are researching on LinkedIn. This is something that is not default. You need to go and change that. The default on LinkedIn is for your visibility as somebody who is browsing other profiles, that it's completely public. So if you go to someone's profile, let's say you go to visit my profile, I may see you have come to see my profile, right? Your little photo will show and a description. I will know that you've been there. You don't need to show that you've been there if you don't want to. All you need to do is go to your privacy settings, go to your visibility, and you can change that so that you are anonymous. I recommend, there was a time, people don't talk about it anymore, but there was a time that there was this huge discussion on LinkedIn. Oh, no, everybody should be public. This is all public. And I'm like, why? When I go to someone's Instagram or even TikTok, they don't know that I've been there. When I go to someone's Twitter and I look at his Twitters, he doesn't know that I'm reading his Twitters. Why is LinkedIn different? I just want to go. If a client of mine, myself, because I'm not applying for jobs, but if a client of mine is applying for a role, I want that client to go and check out who is the boss, who were the colleagues, who did that role before. why did that person leave? You might sort of find out if they moved on to a different organization. And you can do all of that anonymously. So I'm a big fan of that. I'm also a big fan of the disabling the people also viewed box. Now, that's something that we know is going to be discontinued by LinkedIn. A new box will come up. So far, they are saying that that new box is not going to be disabled. It will be there. I don't like that. I hope that they change their minds. I will put a link to the article that I wrote about this new box. It's called Similar Profiles. I don't like similar profiles at all. I don't know. I don't trust the algorithm to know what's similar. So we will look into that when that new function appears on our LinkedIn profiles. It would be a few weeks from now. Now let's talk about creating content on LinkedIn. So not your profile, but your activity. A lot of people come to me and ask, what should I write about? First thing that you need to do is actually have people following you. There's no point in you writing if nobody is listening or reading. So first thing you should do is connect. Okay. So if you have 100 connections, 200 connections, 300 connections, that is not enough. And for my clients, and I work with people that are more experienced, more seasoned professionals, I expect them to have over 500 connections on LinkedIn. That's because if you add up everybody that you went to uni with everybody that you worked with over the years, not just your colleagues, but suppliers and clients, plus friends and family, you will have more than 500 for sure. If you don't, let me know in the comments below. But I'm pretty sure like most of my clients have no trouble reaching that 500 mark. More than that is better. What I think LinkedIn has become for me is the replacement to my Rolodex. In fact, I only just threw away my business cards a few weeks ago. I think it was January, and I'm recording this end of Feb. And I haven't looked at my business cards for years, even before the pandemic, because I have LinkedIn. Everybody that I need to be in touch with is on LinkedIn. So that LinkedIn is my Rolodex, and it should be your Rolodex as well. Then once you have people connected with you, you should go and comment on their activities, right? Instead of trying to write your own posts, why don't you check out what people are writing about and liking their posts and commenting on their posts? People love when other people comment on their posts, so please do that. And then once you have a better understanding of how content strategy is created, you can start thinking about creating your own content. So take that sort of step-by-step approach on LinkedIn and educate yourself and think about it. Do you really have something to say? If you don't write it, you know? I'm perfectly fine with clients of mine just writing very intentional, thoughtful comments on people's posts. That is, you know, fantastic. I think people underestimate the power of the comment function on LinkedIn because you can reach out to just as many people. And I find that when I make the time to comment on people's posts, I actually get more views on my LinkedIn than when I do my own posts. Right? Because I am choosing strategic comments on strategic posts, posts that are related to things that I care about, that my audience cares about. And if people find me because I wrote an interesting comment, they might follow me. And that's all that I want. I want people to come and find me and follow me. When you do decide to engage in creating content, I, for example, couldn't wait to write because I had so much to say about things that I wanted to tell people about what to do with their careers. And I felt like there wasn't anybody saying it the way that I wanted to portray, having been a corporate executive who was interested in career advancement myself. I felt like I had my lived experience that I wanted to share. If you're like me and you feel like you have that expertise, then remember to always educate yourself and keep recent on their expertise, and then share what you're learning with others. You don't necessarily need to share what you know with others. You can really just share what you're learning with others. It's just as good. You know, if you attended a conference, these are my key learnings. If you've done a course, this is what I've learned from doing this course. I see a lot of people doing certificates and courses, and when they are going to update their LinkedIn profiles, LinkedIn asks, do you want to share that with your network? And then there is that sort of standard, oh, I've just completed an IBM certificate or a Microsoft certificate. Or I would much rather read, these are the three things I learned from doing this project management Microsoft certificate, blah, blah, blah. Or I've done this training here, this executive education for the past 3 months. And if you're interested in doing something like this, you can send me a message. I'd be delighted to share with you some of my tips and my advice. Here are some of the things that I think you should take into account if you want to invest in this program, right? Like, sharing that is so much more relevant to the audience than you having achieved a milestone in your career. Plus, they will still know that you've done it. So you will reach, you know, your goals, and you will also be serving a community of colleagues and friends that might really benefit from your advice and tips. So the anatomy of a post, right? Make sure the first two lines of your post are really engaging. Sometimes we write and then the Easter eggs and the really fun stuff ends up being towards the end of what we wrote. It's because we write, and as we flow, we get better and better at thinking about that issue or that problem. So remember to always edit what you've written and then think, okay, what are the two lines in what I've just written that will really resonate with people? Then move that up, and then you describe the situation and you ask for engagement. You know, write in the comments below if you have any further ideas about this topic, or if you have any questions for me, and then respond to comments. If people comment on your post, it's really important for you to go to each one of those comments and write back to them. Again, if you go to my profile, you will see that I do that consistently. When people write a comment in one of my posts, I do always write back. And if I haven't, let me know. But I always, always do. And you should do the same. So what are the best practices for optimizing a LinkedIn profile? Think about a LinkedIn profile in the same way that you would think about building a website, right? You want people to find you. You want to use the right keywords for your profession, the things you want to achieve in your career. You want the top of the profile to be the most important part. You know that people will read that first. The headline will be what people will be searching for. And if they search for somebody like you, they will be attracted to the photo and the headline. So think about all of that in the same way that you would think about building a website. And what is important in terms of networking and interactions with others? I think people sort of underestimate the importance of messaging on LinkedIn. And if you are keen to, for example, connect with me, I would love to connect with you, but please send me a message. Please send me a message. Just say, I listened to your podcast and I wanted to connect with you, and it will be lovely if we connected. I think that's nice. It's a nice thing to do. The other thing that people underestimate is the power of sending a private message, right? So if you work for an organization where you think doing too much on LinkedIn will raise alarm bells, or some organizations don't even allow you to have that much of a public profile. I work with clients that work for the Justice Department or police force or whatnot, and they have policies and protocols about social media. They're not allowed to post anything on LinkedIn or any other social platform. I say, all right, you know, you can still have a LinkedIn profile, and they can, and we've checked. And you can still connect with people privately. So if you see somebody that is a friend of yours or a former colleague, and they have written a nice post on LinkedIn, send them a private message and say, just seen your post. It's really nice what you said. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy reading it. I hope you're well. Do you have time for a coffee or something like that? Right? So make sure that you use that private messaging as well. People forget about it. And how do you measure the success of a LinkedIn presence? That is really interesting. You probably know this. I do LinkedIn audits, and I am about to launch a LinkedIn online course. And if you're interested to know more, please subscribe to my newsletter. There will be a link in the show notes, because if you're a newsletter subscriber, not only will you be the first to know, you will get a little discount when we launch this program. It's coming in a few weeks. And we will tell you about the measures of success on LinkedIn and how to achieve them. But basically, it's all about LinkedIn working for you when you're not worrying about it, when you are asleep, when you're not even on LinkedIn. It's all about people finding you. The measure of success on LinkedIn for my clients is when they are contacted on LinkedIn via private messaging for opportunities that are aligned with what they're looking for. That is the biggest measure of success for my clients. Now, my clients are corporate professionals looking for work, right? And they work with me privately through one-on-one consultations or extended periods like 3 months, 6 months, or if they're doing group coaching. At the moment, we have the group coaching happening. As I record this, we're on week 3 of 7 weeks of group coaching. And that's the biggest measure of success for corporate professionals. I hope that this ad hoc episode that I wasn't thinking of recording has helped you think more strategically about your LinkedIn presence. I think that the LinkedIn short course that I am preparing will be so, so good. We're putting so much effort into giving you more detailed information for you to deep dive into each of the LinkedIn tools and resources and features and boxes so that you can maximize and optimize that presence and so that it doesn't take too much time, right? So the ideal program for short course for me is something that you can do over a weekend. And then all you need to do is go into LinkedIn once a week just to do a little bit of a cleanup, you know, and some bit of research. Of course, if you're looking for work, I would expect you to be there more often than that. But that's what I think most of my busy corporate clients want to hear from me, that I will design a LinkedIn online course for them that they can do over the weekend. And then it's set up and all they need to do is go back to LinkedIn and do a little bit of work once a week. And if you're interested in that, sign up for the newsletter and you will be the first to know and get a little bit of a discount when I launch it. That's all I have for today. I look forward to seeing you at the next episode, and let's all hope that my next guest shows up. Bye for now.